Be all of you that are visiting with us, we're delighted to have you today. It's the Lord's Day and we've got this great privilege coming together to worship and serve the Lord. I had this announcement handed to me just a few moments ago, Mert Barnett. She said that Nancy Bullington will be going to Denver to a clinic Tuesday week for 12 days and she asked for our prayers. Let us bow. We'll pray for her right now. Eternal God, we pray today that you'll be with Sister Bullington. Bless her as she requests us to pray for her. We ask you to help her, Father. We know that going through these periods of sickness and illnesses in life tend to help us or creep within us sometimes difficulty with our faith. Help us to all have faith that is strong. Be with all of those of our number that are sick and not well today, and so many in the hospital, different places. We just ask you to be with them all, Father. Thank you for letting us pray. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. My grace is sufficient for you. That's a statement made by God. It was made to a man that had a problem. A man that had surely experienced in his life, a thorn. The Bible speaks of it, a thorn in his flesh. What an amazing thing. What he really needed was what God gave him. God always does that. He never makes a mistake. We get exactly what we really need. In the reading in 2 Corinthians 12, I must go on boasting, Paul said, although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. 14 years he hadn't spoken about it. Now then he does. And he said he was caught up to the third heavens. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Paul said, I don't know if I was in the body or if I was out of the body. I was translated out of the body. I don't know. God knows. And he was caught up to paradise. Fantastic. Here is a man that's writing about an occasion in his life. And he said, this man whom it was Paul, speaking here in the third person, and he said, this man, whether it was in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. But he was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. But God knows. So he repeats himself. He was caught up to the paradise and he heard inexpressible things. Things that no one is permitted to tell. Why do men today wonder what it was that Paul heard when Paul said, I can't tell you. God said for me not to speak or tell anything about it other than the occasion itself. He said, I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassing great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, Paul, what do you say? To keep me down where I ought to be. God was so good to me. He loved me. And he gave me a thorn in the flesh. Boy, have we ever had discussions on that? Different people have all said this or that about that. You don't know and I don't either and that's enough. The Bible says it was a thorn in the flesh. It was a messenger of Satan to torment me. But Paul said, he gave it to me for a reason. And he said, I pleaded to him to have it removed. Every time you have difficulties in life, we plead with God to help us. And sometimes it may be, thank you, God, for giving us the opportunity to go through what we're going through to keep us where we ought to be. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For you see, for my power is made perfect in weakness. We don't understand that a lot of times. You mean we're stronger when we're weak? That's exactly what he's saying. Therefore, he said, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships, persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. When things come upon you, tough, what do? You get on your knees. You depend more upon God. He said that, going back a little bit, that he's caught up in the third heavens, and different ones have different expressions about that. In the sacred writings, three heavens are usually mentioned. The first is the atmosphere. The second is the starry heaven. The third is the place of the blessed or the throne of the divine glory. So this one, whom we understand to be Paul himself, was caught up to the heaven where God lives. And he waited 14 years to say anything about it. He tells us that I can't tell you what I heard. That's not uncommon. For when you go to the New Testament, the book of Revelation, in Revelation 14 and verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors and their works to follow me. Write, write. Then you'll hear John saying that the Spirit said to me, do not write. There are some things that belong to God. The secret things belong to him, Deuteronomy 29:29. And the things that he didn't want expressed, Paul didn't violate that. He didn't tell it. But he said, I had different visions and revelations and to keep me down from being conceited and above everybody else. You know, a lot of times in the New Testament, we just run a few by you. Visions. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, had a vision of an angel in Luke 8, verses chapter 1, verses 8 through 23. Jesus' transfiguration is described as a vision for the disciples in Matthew 17, and verse 9. The women who came to visit Jesus' tomb had a vision of angels in Luke 24, verses 22 through 24. Stephen, he saw a vision of Jesus at his death in Acts 7, 55 through 56. And Ananias experienced the vision telling him to go to Saul in Acts 9, verses 1 through 10. Peter had a vision of the clean and the unclean animals in Acts 10, 17 through 29, and Acts 11, and verse 5. Peter had a vision of angels at his presence, and he's released from prison, Acts 12, verse 9. And John had many visions on Patmos, Revelation 1, verse 1. Paul had a revelation of Jesus on the road to Damascus, Acts 22, 6 through 11, Acts 26, verses 12 through 20. Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia asking him to come over to that region to help him, Acts 16, verses 9 through 10. And Paul had an encouraging vision while in Corinth in Acts 18, 9 through 11. Paul had a vision of an angel on the ship that was about to be wrecked, Acts 27, 23 through 25. Why are these things written? The things are written so you and I might know something. The things that are not written, that have been told not to be written, don't guess about it. The only thing that you can preach is to preach the things that are written. In Jude verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Contend for what you know. Contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul told Timothy, now I want you to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, They shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables, fictitious stories. We're living in a time where a lot of people are doing that. They want the fictitious stories instead of the truth. Let's consider these things. Someone said, when a sickness strikes us, the Lord's grace is expedient enough to heal and prolong it. Demand a dependence on Him that was never seen before. No wonder you read then, pray, pray, pray. Pray without ceasing. God's near us and will help us. When resources are scarce, remember? Remember the Lord's grace is sufficient and He will provide. My God shall supply every need that you have. Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 19, when faced with a conflict, the Lord's grace is potent enough to see you through it so long as you realize that at the foot of the cross, all conflict has already found its resolution. Because He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be ashamed. When uncertainty is tending your mood, know that the Lord's grace is the beacon of light that will provide the pathway to a place of prosperity. God is in control. Matthew 6, 19 through 20. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust have corrupted, where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. How much could you draw out of your bank account in heaven this morning? What have you sent off? That's the only thing that's going to be there as far as what you've done. No wonder. When people fail to live up to your expectations, understand that the Lord's grace is enough even when you have placed your identity in people instead of the one who made the people. Put your faith and trust in whom? God. Whatever comes, whatever goes. Paul was given a thorn in flesh for a reason. What's God given you for a reason? What are you doing with what He's given you? In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. When a dark season befalls your life, realize that the Lord's grace is just as visible there, regardless of your ability to see it. And remember where Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He loves us. He loves you. He loves us all. When growth is not instantly visible in your ministry, embrace the grace of our Lord, because He rewards not the boastful, but first those who are faithful. And in Revelation 2, verse 10, Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. You, me, us. Depends upon us. When it seems that you are lacking something, boast in that weakness, because this is exactly the area in which God will want to display His power and glory. And that's why with Paul we can say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Why? God's grace is sufficient for us too. When it seems as if though the gospel has stopped spreading, let's repent of not seeing the Lord's grace as the gospel is producing its fruit in the entire world, including yours and mine. Remember, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then He says, but my word will not return unto me void. Don't tell me it will. It might be just one individual that is touched, but that individual is so important. Why? Because God is in control, and His Word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto it was sent. Oh, do we have that kind of faith? Are we willing to support it, preach it, and teach it, knowing that God said that I'm going to be with you even to death? And when it seems as if, though you're not accomplishing much, remember what the Master said to his servant. Notice what he says. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, but I will set you over much. Matthew 25 and verse 21. It's something to think about the grace of God. No wonder. Here's what God is saying to Paul. Paul, here's something you need. I love you, and I'm going to give you what you need. I want to use an illustration that you know. When we couldn't have any children of our own, we adopted 10. You know that. I've told you, I don't know how many times. He's 50-something years of age today. We were told when we got him, they probably would never be able to drive because of his eyes. They would not be able to go from one side to the other. Anne worked with him, and bless her heart, she's the one that's going to receive, I know, a lot of glory from the Lord for that. He doesn't even hardly wear glasses today. When we were told that our little girl that we adopted, that she had cerebral palsy, we were crushed. Admittedly, I'll tell you, my faith was weak. Little did I know that she'd grow up, that she'd go to college, that she'd be able to have 3 children with a married to a fine man. And one of those children now is getting ready to go to the University of Alabama this fall. But we were crushed. You remember I told you when we first got her, she was a little tiny thing, three months old. When we got started back from Montgomery, where we picked her up, and as we left Montgomery and she started crying, Tim was about 8 or 9 years of age, and Tim said, Daddy, if you don't make that baby to shut up, said she's going to give me a sick headache. And believe you me, she's given him many of them. But they looked back, and we looked back. God said, Diane, my grace is sufficient for you. No, I've chosen that you not have any children of your own. But you can be one that's blessed somebody else. I say that because you see, that's exactly what God has done for us. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, if you have love one for another. So we got to demonstrate that. The more I love Jesus and pursue Him with my whole undivided heart, and let me tell you this morning, I've still got room. I've got to do better. We've got to do better. My entire soul, every fiber of my strength and every area of my mind, the more I do that, I find the tremendous power in those words. For my grace is sufficient for you. I'll give you what you really need. The problem is not with our paycheck, our jobs, our situation in life, our position at work, the church, our spouse, or our family. The problem, my friends, stems solely from an individual not surrendering his entire life to Jesus. I've got to do more like that. Completely. The core of the issue is our inadequate grasp of what the gospel really is. Where Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Boy, I'm still working on that one. Deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. The life of a Christian should be to live by the gospel. This life is focused on who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and what Jesus continues to do today. Instead of us murmuring and complaining, let us look at what God has done. For my grace is sufficient unto you. Notice it. My God's grace. Instead of removing the thorn from Paul's life, God gave and would keep giving him grace. The grace God gave Paul was sufficient to meet his every need. My grace, my God's. In Ephesians 2 in verses 8 through 10, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What is the grace of God? It's the grace of Christ. Ah, friend, to remember that He went to the cross and that's what God did for you, unmerited favor from God that He gave to all of us. And it's my grace, His Son, to die for me. He said, my grace, the favor and love of God in action. Ah, my grace is right now. Not that it will be someday. Not that it has been in the past. Do you think His grace is sufficient just one time? My grace is present tense, right now, today. One thing I'm trying to learn in my life, and I hope that you will too, that yesterday was yesterday, and make sure you do all you can to correct any mistakes you've made. And once you've done that, thank God, and you can be renewed as a new day with God, because my grace is right now. Someone said it's easy to believe in grace for the past and for the future, but to rest in it for the immediate necessity, that's true faith. Believer, it is now that grace is sufficient even at this moment. It is enough for you and for me. For my grace is sufficient. And that word sufficient carries with it everything that you need. The grace of our crucified, risen, exalted, triumphant Savior, the Lord of all glory, is surely sufficient for me. Knowing that Jesus Christ is with you, keeps you working and praying. Why do you keep coming? Why do you keep reading the Bible and studying the Bible? Why do you keep praying? Why don't we just give up? No, never. Why? Whatever we're going through right now, God's grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you, and Paul recognized that. And Paul said, I most gladly accept it, though I pleaded three times, just like Jesus did. I wanted it removed. And God said, it's given to you. And it's given to you for a reason, because His sufficiency is declared without any limiting words. Sufficient to uphold you. Sufficient to strengthen you. Sufficient to comfort you. Sufficient to make your trouble useful to you. Sufficient to enable thee to triumph over it. Sufficient to bring thee out of it. Sufficient to bring thee out of 10,000 like it. You see, it's all sufficient to bring you and me to heaven. And that's where God wanted Paul to be. And God showed him, but He told him, don't tell anybody what you've seen and what you've heard. Ah, he said, I plead, I beg the Lord. I thought that'd be the best for me. What's best for you? What God is doing. There is nothing wrong with people just praying and praying. You just read the Bible over and over where the Bible says pray. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. And when we get older, we realize how important that is. And young people, they realize that because they're going through problems. They need the help of God. It worked for Paul. And I want to tell you this morning, I'm persuaded it worked for every one of us today. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Wow! I hope we all can say that when we come to meet the last day of our life. Galatians 2, verse 20, I now live. Paul said, because Christ lives in me. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, that's whom we preach. That's a beautiful song. I need thee every hour. And we hear the psalmist in Psalms 39 verse 12, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. And we all have done that. And we all know we had the assurance, those of us who are in the children of God that are trying to live in keeping with God's will, that my grace, God said, is sufficient for you. I have no idea why this old folk song came to my mind in relation to my preparation for this sermon. I love it. It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher nor the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my father, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father nor my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not the stranger, it's not my neighbor, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the stranger nor my neighbor, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And you can hear God saying to Paul, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. I gave you a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, and I gave it to you because I love you. Don't want you to be conceited, lifted up with pride, and just like He's made the promise, He'll bless us too. We'll just put our trust in Him. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He told His disciples, go into all the world and make disciples. I'll never leave you. I'll be with you. John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Revelation 2 and verse 10, and He tells us, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. No wonder this great apostle lived such a victorious life, because he had a thorn in the flesh that tormented him. But he thanked God. God loved him enough that He gave him what he needed. And he lived a life faithful to the very end. If you're not a Christian, you're missing everything. Won't you believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized right now? If you're a child of God and you've wandered away from the Lord, come back. My grace is sufficient for you. Let's just sing this beautiful hymn that Charlie selected. If you're subject in any way to His invitation this morning, won't you come while together we stand and walk.